It is time for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and today we're going to have our special feature. And this time I'm going to be reading from a publication that is called the Carolina Messenger. Now, this is a religious publication that is published in the Carolinas, and it's really focused on North and South Carolina. I used to be one of those Carolina preachers when I was a preacher for 7 years in Greensboro, North Carolina. And the editor for this paper is John Mitchell. He lived in South Carolina at the time. Now, he lives in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And from there, he continues to edit this paper. And he asked me to write an article on the 134th Psalm. The title of it is, Standing by Night in the House of the Lord. Let me read this to you. Psalm 134 pays tribute to those who stand by night in the house of the Lord. It is a short psalm. Only Psalm 117 is of shorter length. It is the last of the 15 psalms or songs of degrees. As this series of psalms comes to a close, this psalm carries us in spirit into the sanctuary of the temple in Jerusalem. It has been suggested in that elusive inscription, a song of degrees, may have been given because these psalms were for pilgrims to sing on their way to Jerusalem, or for the priest ascending the 15 steps to the altar, or that each verse is to be sung in the next higher key, or that they were intended to lead us through a progression of spiritual thoughts. Being unable to unravel the mystery, we can be sure it is unnecessary to do so. The song begins, Behold, bless the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which stand by night in the service of the Lord. The exclamation, Behold, calls our attention to something significant that might otherwise be overlooked. To bless the Lord, in this context, is to sing a praise of thanksgiving. All the servants of the Lord are to praise Him. In Ephesians 5:18 through 19, we are called to congregational worship. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some want praise songs sung to them by a praise team. But our worship is not a show or a performance. I am as the preacher who said, I have no objection to a choir in worship, as long as all of us are in it. There were duties for the priest to perform through the night. These servants would clean up from the day before and prepare for the day to come. And they would keep watch to see that all was well. Also, in the night, they would gather for worship. In 1 Chronicles 9:33, it speaks of the singers who were employed to work day and night. And these are the singers, chief of the fathers of the Levites, who remaining in the chambers were free, for they were employed in that work day and night. The second verse of the 134th Psalm says, Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. A sanctuary is a place set apart. The temple is called the sanctuary because it was set apart for worship. Some call the room in our buildings where we gather to worship the sanctuary. We may worship in that room, but it is not a holy place as was the temple of God. God wants our worship to ascend from sanctified hearts rather than from sanctified rooms. Lifting up the hands acknowledged the exalted holiness of God. Paul wrote of worship leaders in the church who would assume that posture in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Think of how it would have been sounded, how it would have sounded to have passed near the temple at night, and have heard those voices coming from the sanctuary in song. Have you ever passed a meeting house on Sunday evening or on Wednesday nights and seen cars in the parking lot and lights from the windows? In the old days, the windows would be opened. Those outside could hear the praise ascending from within. Those who make themselves absent from the evening worship are missing a spiritual blessing. The psalmist asks that a blessing be bestowed on those servants who worship through the night. The Lord that made the heaven and earth bless thee out of Zion. Who better to ask for such a benefit than to ask it from the Lord that made heaven and earth? James said in James 1 in verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. This temple no longer stands in Jerusalem, but there are still servants of the Lord who, in a sense, serve in the night. These include those who serve unseen. Jehovah warns those who do their righteousness to be seen of men. He said, verily, they have their reward. But of those who serve unseen, he says, the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Matthew 6:1-6. These include those who serve long after others have gone. Some stop serving when they see nothing in it for themselves, and by this they show that they were only serving to please themselves. Those who worship in spirit and in truth offer sacrifices of praise, and they do not become weary in well-doing. Those who serve in the night include those who serve when all is not well, when the service is difficult, and when the numbers are few. They're not just marching in the parade as sunshine soldiers. These are they who remain at their post through the perilous night. This psalm reminds me of an eerily obscure passage in which Isaiah says in Isaiah 21, verses 11 through 12, watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If ye will inquire, inquire ye. Return, come. Let me suggest that the call for the watchman is repeated for urgency. The morning will come with judgment, then the dreaded night. What then must we do to be saved? If you would inquire, inquire ye. What follows is a call for repentance. Return. Come. Life's little day is passing. The night cometh. When the judgment morning dawns, we want to be found in the presence of the Lord, for there is no night there. Without awaits an outer darkness of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Listen to the voice of the watchman. Return, come. Well, that was the reading and the lesson we drew from that 134th Psalm. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now, in the time remaining, we're going to return to our regularly scheduled study where we're studying Elam's notes. These are notes written for the Sunday schools of July the 18th, 1926, about the call of Moses and that time that Moses was directed to take off his shoes, for he was on holy ground. He was standing at the time before that burning bush at Mount Horeb. Here's what we read from Elam's old notes. Jehovah directed Moses to put off his shoes, because he was on holy ground. The Lord told Joshua at Jericho to put off his shoes, for the same reason given to Moses, Joshua 5:13-15. God's presence made the ground holy. Afterward, the mountain was called holy in Exodus 19:23, and so was the Mount of Transfiguration in 2 Peter 1:18. Jerusalem is called the holy city in Matthew 27:53, because God's presence was there. From the circumstance of Moses putting off his shoes, it has been suggested that it sprang from the custom of the people east of taking off their shoes when entering their temples and sacred places. They take off their shoes as we take off our hats. To assure Moses to give confidence and to strengthen his faith, the Lord said, "I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Egypt, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." He was the God who appeared to these men and delivered them his promises. Jesus refers to this declaration in his discussion of the resurrection with the Sadducees in Matthew 22:32. Moses hid his face and was afraid to look upon God, because he was overawed by God's presence. In the transfigured presence of Jesus, Peter, James, and John fell on their face and were sore afraid, Matthew 17:6. How will it be with sinners in judgment before God, who is a consuming fire? Hebrews 12:29. Now, why did God appear to Moses? God declares that he had seen the affliction and oppression of the children of Israel, and he had heard their cry. He now appeared to Moses to deliver them. Moses and all he did were the means by which God used in delivering the Israelites. God also intended to bring them into a good land, and a large, into a land flowing with milk and honey. It was large compared to Goshen in Egypt. Flowing with milk and honey is a frequent and proverbial expression of the Bible, descriptive of the abundance of the land. For beautiful and poetic description of this country, we find it in Deuteronomy 8:4-18. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. And thou shalt consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so Jehovah thy God chasteneth thee. And thou shalt keep the commandment of Jehovah thy God, to walk in his ways, to fear him. For Jehovah thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of waters, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and vines, and fig trees, and pomegranates, a land of olive trees, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without sacredness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig copper. And thou shalt eat and be full, and shalt bless Jehovah thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware, lest thou forget Jehovah thy God in not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hath about goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget Jehovah thy God, who brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein there were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna.